Good morning. I'm glad to be back here. This month has been quite busy for me, traveling to the Philippines and filling in for a retired pastor who spent his last 2 months on vacation because he's retiring. So I'm left to do his work, so it's quite busy. but I'm glad to be back here and to be with our family and with the family of God. Recently, I flew to the Philippines, but there was an interesting, suspenseful, anxiety-filling experience with that. When I arrived at LAX, Jeannie discovered that my backpack, where I had important documents, my spending money, and my proof of recovery from COVID were inside. I was afraid that I would not be able to make it because all my documents are there. But luckily, my neighbor was still at home when I called him, and he brought the backpack to the airport so I could fly. Now, a couple of Sundays ago, I had another episode of forgetfulness. After I preached at the service in Hacienda Heights, we went to iGrill, a Mediterranean restaurant nearby. Before going home, I decided to use the restroom. I put my iPhone down on a small counter in the restroom, and when we got home, when I was about to take a nap, I missed my phone. Then it suddenly dawned upon me that I left it at the restaurant's restroom. So Jeannie frantically called the restaurant and asked them to check. And when the man came back on the line, he said, "Your husband was lucky. He found it where I left it." Lucky me. But my wife has another proof that I am now in my senior moments stage. Well, this is nothing new. My wife says I'm forgetful. My children says I'm forgetful. So this incident just adds to the proof that I am really forgetful. Well, now listen to the following story and tell me who is worse. Somewhere in Norway, there's a young man named Gjermund Skagstad who maybe was worse off than you or I. Gjermund moved from the country to the city and rented an apartment. 30 minutes after moving into his apartment, he stepped out for a bite to eat. And by the time he found a cafe, he was hopelessly lost and had no idea how to get home. Further, he had forgotten the address of his new apartment. Fortunately, he had written the address down on a card in his wallet. Unfortunately, he had left his wallet behind in the apartment. At the time when the newspaper item was written, Gjermund has been searching for his apartment for a month, and he still hasn't found his way home. The psalmist, on the psalm that we have heard, was complaining to God. He was accusing God of forgetfulness. He said, "How long, O God, will you forget me forever?" He must have been waiting for God's answer so long that for him that wait seems forever. Psalm 13 is classified as a psalm of lament. Lament is a major theme in the Bible and particularly in the book of Psalms. To lament is to express deep sorrow, grief, or regret. The Psalms of Lament are beautiful poems or hymns expressing human struggles. The Psalm of Lament comprise the largest category of Psalms, making up one-third of the entire book of Psalms. Imagine that, one third. These Psalms are prayers that lay out a troubling situation to the Lord and make his request for help. There are two types of lament, community and individual. Community laments deal with situation of national crisis. They describe the problems faced by all the people of God. And Psalm 12 is an example of that. When David said, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts." Individual laments address various isolated troubles, problems faced by one member of the people of God. An example of an individual psalm of lament is Psalm 86. As David lays out his need before God, he said, "Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you." There are 42 individual lament of psalms of lament and 16 community national psalms of lament. Like the whole book of Psalms, the psalm of lament follows a pattern that begins with suffering and ends with glory. It begins with a complaint and ends with praise. Usually, the song starts on a negative, complaining note, but they end in a positive, faith-filled note. A psalm of lament will incorporate affirmations of trust in God, often remembering his previous acts of faithfulness. In Psalm 13:5, it says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." And finally, a psalm of lament will contain a glorious vow of praise to God when it says, "I will sing to the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Psalm 13:6. Now, going back to our text, as we have heard, the psalmist was asking God, how long will he be forgotten? The first question in our mind maybe is, can God really forget? Is our God forgetful? How can an all-powerful, all-knowing God ever forget about his creatures? Have you experienced feeling that God has forsaken or has forgotten you? Or that God was oblivious to your prayers, that your prayers are not being answered? When God is silent, it can feel like he has forgotten us. It's like our needs, desires, and pleas for help are being forgotten or ignored. We feel like God has abandoned us as more and more of our prayers are left unanswered. It feels God has been deaf or oblivious to our concerns. At some time in our life, we may have felt forgotten or abandoned by God. So let us discuss what God cannot and can forget. What God cannot forget. To the psalmist, it seems apparent that God has indeed forgotten something or someone. The writer says that God has forgotten him. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And then David says, "Can you really forget me forever?" And he doesn't let up. He said, "How long will you hide your face from me?" This evokes an image of a hidden God, or what they call the idol God, who has withdrawn from the world after he created it. He let his inhabitants, his creation alone, to fend for themselves. In God's absence, God forgets us, or so David believed. He continues in this vein for the entire psalm, four times his complaint begins with, how long? How long? The psalmist must have felt like God was giving him a silent treatment. There is that kind of a tone in Psalm 13. The psalmist felt that God was giving him a silent treatment, that he was not listening. How long, O Lord, will you forget about me? How long, O Lord, will you keep your silence? This lament sounds like a broken relationship. There was a couple who had a very heated argument, so they were not talking to each other for days. The husband, after several days, remembered that he had an important meeting. He was afraid that he might overslept, so he slipped a note underneath his wife's bedroom. Remember, they were not talking, they were sleeping in two different beds. And so he slipped a note under the door that says, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. And true to his fear, he overslept. He was very upset until he saw a note slipped under his door saying, "It's 5 o'clock. Wake up." Well, the psalmist was in the same mood of an ignored lover being given a silent treatment. He says, "Hey God, how long are you going to ignore me? How long are you going to keep running away from me? Do you think you can forget me forever? Could you please have the decency to tell me how long you are going to keep me hanging here? Because I'm in such pain." Can God really forget? Has God forgotten us in our despair? Now, here's the thing. There are some things that God cannot forget. And you are one of them. God cannot forget you. God loves you so much that he will never forget you. There is a remarkable passage in Isaiah 49, verses 14 and 16. It begins by noting that Zion complains that the Lord has forsaken me, just like the psalmist in Psalm 13. "My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show compassion for the child of her womb?" Well, normally she cannot. The text continues by asserting that it is more likely that a mother will forget her child than God will forget us. That's not going to happen. And there's this addendum in verse 16. "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Here, God seems to be behaving like you and I. When we try not to forget, we write it down, and when we don't have a paper to write it on, what do? We write it on our hand, on our palm. But God brought it up to the next level. He just didn't write it down. God says that we are tattooed on his palm. Here, God is saying that the divine, all-powerful creator and God of the universe has inscribed us in the palm of his hand. God can never forget us because we are right there on his palm. Of course, this is a human way of representation. Still, it represents a graphic and symbolic way of great truth and reality and significance. That God never forgets. He has inscribed, he has tattooed us on his hands. Tattooed in the hollow of God's hand. That's more amazing. And that's very reassuring. God may forget our sin, but God will always remember you. God will always remember us. May the Lord be praised. May the Lord be honored. Amen.